the unclean spirit has gone out of a person, it passes through waterless places seeking rest. And finding none, it says, I will return to my house from which I came. In the name of Jesus. Amen. We now go from last week hearing about breadcrumbs at the master's table, and then having witnessed two baptisms, to now Jesus speaking about Satan, who is Beelzebul, about a strong man guarding his own palace, and also Jesus speaking about unclean spirits and waterless places. First off, to understand this, you have to realize how Jesus is being accused of casting out a demon through the power of Satan. That's just ridiculous, because that's like someone telling you that you are the cause of the problem rather than the solution, when you already single-handedly solved the problem. But casting out a demon is a good thing. It's not something Satan wants to have happen. Why would the king of demons want to cast out one of his own? Makes no sense. For a kingdom divided against itself doesn't stand together. It falls. Okay, then you have this strong man, fully armed, who is guarding his house. The house is you. He is talking about your heart, your mind, your whole life. That's what Satan wants to have. He is strong in his ways. Therefore, it takes a stronger man to defeat him, to take his armor away, and then gather unto himself what's inside the house, you. And the stronger man is Christ. Matthew's gospel puts it this way, or how can someone enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods, unless he first binds the strong man? But just like the people don't get right how he is able to cast out a demon, they also don't get right, nor do many people today, how Jesus binds the strong man. Because the way that he binds him is by being bound himself. Christ bound by Satan, allowing himself to be bound to the cross. See, the devil thought that he had Jesus tied up on the cross. But that was the moment Jesus tied up the devil. It wasn't until Christ rose that that becomes clear. The devil empties his whole arsenal at the cross. The devil throws everything at him. Betrayal, false accusations, nails, and death. And Jesus takes it all. Jesus seems powerless. But the fact that he cast out one of Satan's demons shows that he already has power over Satan, that he is indeed stronger than him. The victory over Satan ultimately happens at the cross. The devil's hold on him on the cross isn't strong enough, because Jesus defeats death. He is crucified, buried, descends into hell, takes the keys away from Satan, and marches out of there in victory. Then in his resurrection, the armor of the evil foe is taken away. The cords of Sheol are snapped, and Satan can't even get near Jesus, much less even touch him. The devil used his greatest weapon on Jesus, and it didn't work. Here's what Jesus teaches next about the person, you, the house. Once an unclean spirit leaves, it goes looking for somewhere else to live. It goes through waterless places. It loves waterless places because then it doesn't need to learn how to swim or hold its breath. Unclean spirits can't stand to be in water. And so it is no wonder that the baptism rite begins with, depart unclean spirit and make room for the Holy Spirit. Ah, but the demonic looks to return. It appears as if the house, you, are now clean, swept, and in good order. And so here's the twist. If the house is empty, it goes and brings seven of its friends, more evil than itself, and they enter and dwell there. Where there's a vacancy, let's book the room. Because the empty house is dangerous. Your mind, your house being empty is dangerous because even with bare walls, there's room for evil pictures to be hung. It is not safe. The house must be filled. What should it be filled with when the demons come a-knocking? Now, more than once, I have been told of some real-life experiences with what someone is dealing with in their house they live in, the actual house. They have described that they feel or even see a dark image sometimes wandering there, a fearful presence of something like an evil force, something weird, right? Something lurking at times that begins to make them feel horrified, or even to the point that they no longer will even go to that section of their house anymore. Things like that do happen. And it all has to do with what fills your house. What do you let in? Because remember, if there's room, they will find it. And not only that, but if they already have friends there, their friends will open up the window for them to come in and join them. And what I mean by that is also, your house can be full, but it also matters what it's full of. Are there any depictions of things the devil would think are nice furnishings? Wall images, posters, books. What shows do you watch on TV? Those kinds of things are doors, openings, spaces to join. The list can go on and on. Music, even words spoken. Words spoken amongst one another in the home. Because at the end of this, Jesus corrects a woman who is giving a shout out to his mom and says, no, more blessed, that is more filled, is the ones who hear the word of God and keep it. Stockpile it. And when you move, it's loaded in your U-Haul to take with you. No matter where you go, your house is loaded. Waterless places are what the unclean spirits like. Waterless. So the kingdom of God provides water by the finger of God and his word to flood the house, for starters. Baptism water. What you fill your house with matters, folks. Depart, unclean spirit, and make room for the Holy Spirit. And then what happens after that? Saw this last week. Saw it before. Right after that part of the baptismal rite, it goes, receive the sign of the cross upon your forehead and upon your heart to mark you as one redeemed by Christ the crucified. Yeah. You know that strong man gift? The power of his cross and resurrection? Take that. That's your home address. Put the sign in your yard. No solicitors accepted or wanted. For I am marked. I am baptized. I am filled with Christ and his word. The unclean spirits do not like God's water, and they also do not like his cross or any kind of image that causes them to see and remember and know how he defeated their king once and for all. So for centuries, Christendom has always put up crucifixes in their dwellings. For artwork? For aesthetics? No. It's done so that if an unclean spirit slips under the door, they might see it and run. Run for their lives. And you see, the whole world thinks this word of the cross that I am preaching about is foolishness. Foolish to those who are perishing, Paul reminds the church in Corinth, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. The what? The power of God, the stronger man. Thy will be done. Give us this day our daily bread. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. How? By the sign of the cross. That's why Luther says in his catechism, when you rise in the morning, he has that Luther's morning prayer that we'll pray today. He also has an evening one. And the rubric in the small catechism before those, before you pray them, is when you rise, before you go to sleep, make the sign of the cross over you, and then pray. Our Ezekiel Bible study group that meets on Tuesday, that group can attest to this fact based on that saving action in Ezekiel chapter 9. If you want to read that later at home, read Ezekiel chapter 9. You'll know what I'm talking about. Because it has to do with this marking on the forehead. Marking on the forehead is in Ezekiel 9. It just so happens to be a T, folks. But the house must be filled with Christ himself as received through the word and sacraments. No empty space. Where Christ dwells, there is no room for demons. When the mind forgets baptism, forgets the word, forgets Christ, the house becomes dry again. See, Christ does not clean the house. He doesn't just clean the house. Christ moves into the house. And if Christ is not filling it, something else will. It is waterless and empty. And empty is not safe. The stronger man has already come. Satan has already been defeated. The devil may look powerful, but Christ has come into his house. And now he fully arms you with the weapons of our spiritual warfare. His word, his blood shedding, defeating what used to be the strong man that works forgiveness, life, and salvation. To whom then will you compare me, that I should be like him, says the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high and see who created these. He who brings out their hosts by number, calling them all by name, by the greatness of his might, and because he is strong in power, not one is missing. It's you, Christ, the judge of the living and the dead. You can only be that if you are the mightiest man who saves. And the plunder he divides is that of himself, given for you. And whoever is not with him is against him. And whoever does not gather, scatters. So what's in your house? Have you gathered your true belongings? Word, water, sacrament, as your heavenly decor. And that heavenly decor is more feng shui than all the powers and energies of the earth, folks. It's not about the clutter either. You could have a cluttered house. It's about the fullness of it, thereof. The fullness of him who is stronger than hell itself and who is oh so dangerous to Beelzebul and all his minions. Baptism. Word, cross. Where Christ lives, there is no more room left. So fill the house. We pray that. Fill the house, Lord. Fill our minds, our hearts, our whole lives. Create a pool of living water, great captain. Now thine arm make bare, and fight for us once again. So shall thy saints and martyrs raise a mighty chorus to thy praise. In the name of Jesus, amen.